Welcome back, patrons, to your monthly minisode for the month of April. I'm your host, Tim the Handlebreaker, and join with me, as always, my friend Tab Burt.
Welcome back, everybody.
So it looks like it's the end as we know it.
Yeah. Finally. Finally, some people are getting some fucking sense in this world. Texas is letting theirs stand down. Our cuck of a mayor is still like, well, guys, we still got to be shut the fuck up and sit down like you know what you're doing. I hate cowards. To me, I've been calling a lot of people cowards online this because to me, a coward is one of the worst things. A coward and a hypocrite are like two of the worst things you could possibly be in my mind, because it's okay to be afraid. You know, everybody's afraid. You become a coward when you let your fear control you and it dictates your actions based on, I'm afraid that I get the coof. So I need to tell everyone else what to do. Like, okay, you're a coward. Because if you weren't a coward, you'd be like, I'm afraid of getting the coof, but I'm not going to let that change the entire world around me. I'm just going to take some precautions.
If anything, I think the coronavirus has taught us that no one knows what to do.
I know what to do.
You know what to do for yourself.
I know what to do for everybody. Just continue your life as if it never happened.
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, I just think that it's like, it seems to be that no one has a clear understanding of what to do.
Except for me.
Yeah, except for you.
Yeah. Again, someone on Twitter was like, nobody, you didn't know that this was going to happen. Like, yeah, I did. I knew it. I knew it in my gut bones, the way that I know when bad news is coming.
Oh,
I can't explain to you why I know these things, but I know things.
People have a sixth sense about some things.
Yeah.
I was listening to a podcast and they got an email, and the email question was, if you could have one number over your head, right? If everyone in the world had a number over their head, what would you pick as that number? And I knew my immediate answer was how many times I was right.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, like, that's the, oh, you get to pick whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, so I was thinking just a number. It's a counter.
It's a counter.
Things.
It's a counter of things.
That would be a great one.
The immediate one would be like times it turned out I was right.
Yeah.
That was my immediate first thought.
I would even go so far as to say I would allow mine to take away times I was right for times that I was wrong. that would be, and everyone had to see that all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, whoa, he's in the thousands. Holy shit. This guy is Nostradamus.
Like I know, like when the flooding happened.
Yeah.
I knew the flooding wasn't trumped up. I knew that there was a risk of flood.
Yes.
But I didn't go like, oh, I'm moving out of my house preemptively.
No, you took some precautions.
But I took precautions. I was ready to go.
Yeah.
But this one I knew from the beginning. I knew when it hit in China. Like, oh, this is going to be the next SARS thing. You remember SARS?
Yeah.
Remember what a non big deal that was?
I remember it was a deal. It was a big deal in China.
Yeah, there was, you know how many people died of SARS?
I don't know.
In the early 2000s?
How many?
Like less than 600.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So, by all comparisons, like this is a huge blowout of a pandemic, but it's when looking at the population of the world, like you could easily delete this many people with just a rounding error.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Dick Masterson was talking about it and he was like, he was on the Brian Long's podcast. He's a comedian. And he was saying, you know, all these people who've been saying for years, like, wish we could just get rid of the dumb people. Well, you had your chance and you all decided that we all needed to kill everything to protect these dumb people. All these people that say, like, let's take the warning labels off things and let things work themselves out. Or we need a plague because these people are so stupid. A lot of these people are the same people that were saying you need to stay inside your homes that are protesting. There was a picture today on Twitter, protesters protesting protesters.
Oh God.
Who, you know, you got protesters saying, I don't want to stay inside my home. Uh-huh. And then there's a counter protester who's got a sign that says stay home.
Yeah.
You are on the street.
I love that.
Old people yelling it at young people in parks.
Yeah.
I read a news article and news articles will do this, right? When they want to give someone clout and they'll start a quote and it's like this quote by this person, like, these people were standing around outside, not social distancing, says Kathleen, 60-year-old war veteran, former nurse, has 17 grandchildren. And then the quotes resumes. I started yelling at this thing like, Kathleen, you're over 60 years old. You need to stay inside. Not the 22-year-old who's going on a walk in the park because it's a nice day. They had mounted patrols in LA this weekend to keep people from going on the beach and the trails.
Wow.
You know, one of the big things that helps kill the Wuhan flu, right?
What?
Sunlight.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
There's absolutely no proof that there's absolutely no cases where it was spread outdoors. It's always indoor spread. It's really? Also more often spread intrafamilial, right?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you're around those people most of the time. Yeah.
Like, your mom gets it, she gets you sick, and your dad sick, and your sister sick, and your brother sick. Far more likely transmission than me and you. Yeah. Even you and me as friends sitting together at the same table to give it to one another.
Yeah.
And everybody's an expert epidemiologist now.
Even epidemiologists,
yeah. And I'll be talking about that in the regular episode. But yeah, it looks like some of the country is going to return to normalcy, which is not in a moment too soon, considering meatpacking plants are all shut down, which means we're about to have, like, the stores all still have fresh meat right now, but there's going to be a gap. Price oil's in the tanker.
Yeah, you're going to have to turn to that, the Burger King thing, the Impossible Burger stuff.
Absolutely not.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I have frozen meat in my freezer. It's ridiculous. These people, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York is demanding from businesses a plan of how they're going to reopen. They need to have a plan to reopen.
Uh-huh.
You didn't need a plan to tell them to close.
Yes.
It's also funny that Walmart and Target totally okay to be open because they're essential, but a mom and pop store that also sells stuff that Target sells, you guys can't be open.
Yeah.
So you need to have a plan of how you're going to reopen. And I would send him this plan. This would be my plan. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to put my keys in the door and turn the cylinder counterclockwise. Then I'm going to open the door and turn on the on sign. And then we're going to be open. Well, you ready to get into some issues?
I sure am.
Well, here's what I don't get, Tim. The newspeak. It's Orwell's word for the way they talk in
1984.
Yeah. And I feel like we've learned a lot from 1984 in this. Things like the memory hole, where you take every scrap of paper you're given and toss it down into an incinerator. And that's why we've got this newspeak. When originally it started out, we needed to all stay home to flatten the curve.
Yeah.
Because there were going to be 2 million deaths in the United States alone.
Uh-huh.
2.2 million deaths.
Yeah.
I always round down to 2 million because it's nicer. But Neil Ferguson, professional wolf crier, said 2.2 million deaths. And then immediately was like, actually, it could be closer to 80,000. But I wasn't wrong. I'm not saying I was wrong. I'm just saying that the number is less than what I said it was going to be. Yeah. Like, that's a really weird way of saying that you were wrong. So we had to flatten the curve, right? That's the way it started. Flatten the curve. Yeah, yeah. And now because there were 2.2 million deaths with strict social distancing, which is straight out of Orwell. Social distancing. That's an oxymoron. Those words don't fit together.
Yeah.
A much more reasonable way to describe this, not social distancing, would just be respect personal space.
Yeah.
Which is a thing that already exists. People's personal space bubbles. People refer to them as bubbles sometimes.
Yeah. Don't enter my bubble.
Don't enter my bubble. Like, if you want to get cutesy with it. Yeah. But then we created this new term, social distancing, which is an oxymoron because you can't be social and distant at the same time. It's like being Brett near Favre. You can't do it. we've got that
near
even with Favre. Yeah. Even with lockdown and strict social distancing and all this shit, we were going to have 2.2 million deaths, and we need to flatten the curve. To flatten the curve would be, instead of having the 2.2 million deaths in the month of April, the 2.2 million deaths that happen over the course of April, May, June, July, August, to stretch them out, to keep the health system from being overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Don't want to overwhelm the health system. Overwhelm the system. Overwhelm, fighting the curve. Overwhelm the system. And then it was like, hey, Curve isn't anywhere fucking near overwhelming the system. Anywhere. Yeah. Not even New York. New York, they brought in the Navy brought in a naval hospital ship that had 1,100 beds.
Uh-huh.
You know what its max occupancy was during all of this? Because it's shipping out this week.
What?
185.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
They brought that in because it was like, the hospitals can't possibly stand this many people.
Yeah.
And then it turns out, I guess. Well, so then it was, clearly the flatten the curve was a lie. So now they memory hold flatten the curve. They memory hold the 2.2 million deaths.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, we have to flatten the curve. Why are we flattening the curve? So we don't overwhelm the hospitals. Okay, but why do we need to not overwhelm the hospitals? Well, we can't mention this 2.2 million deaths because the number's been that number is way over the top.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're just overwhelming the hospitals. That's point two. And it's like, hey, the hospitals aren't overwhelmed at all. And then it was like, we need to stay home and do the lockdown until there's a vaccine to keep it from spreading because your body doesn't form antibodies. And you're like, how? That doesn't make any sense at all if you've taken a middle school biology course.
Yeah, that's how the human body works.
Because if your body doesn't form antibodies to a virus, it's
you're not going to live. You don't live past the age of 3.
Well, I mean, yeah, your body can get over it. You can get over it with medical treatment, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then if you can be reinfected by the exact same virus, it's a total game over. Because like, you might as well end the lockdown because we're all going to die anyway.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is some new virus that breaks the laws of biology.
Yes.
So then it was actually before it was wait for a vaccine. It was like, wait for until we have enough tests. I skipped a spot
because
overwhelm the system. And then the system, now we need to wait for tests. We got to wait for tests. We need to have enough testing in place so we can test people. And people are talking about like, we'll test an area. And if everyone's in there is good, it'll be a green zone. And then there'll be yellow zones with like, and I'm
that
like,
sounds
this strange. Is a fucking sci-fi dystopia you are describing. And I am not getting tested. You get that fuck. If you bring a needle towards me, you're getting a much larger injection of hot lead.
We got to travel through the red zone to deliver this package.
Yeah, no fucking like kidding. Like
the old man Logan comic.
Yeah. So then it was that. And now it's...
There's a symbiote T-Rex chasing us.
Now we're... I think now we're in the wait for a vaccine, but maybe we've pushed past that too. And people are posting all these dumbass graphs where it shows like, this is what happens if nobody... takes precautions, it's like a vertical line, guys. But then we took precautions, so now we're flattening it out. But now we're right here where you think, yay, we did it, but there's a chance of reinfection. And there's a thing called, I think it's Farr's Law, which is the, since 4th century Greece, when they started tracking outbreaks of disease, the shape that viruses go through, right? And I'm going to talk about this too on the regular episode because viruses are like a game of Minesweeper.
Uh-huh.
But imagine Minesweeper where the point was to click on the bombs.
Okay.
So you've got 100 bombs in your little grid.
Yeah.
And you want to click on all the bombs.
Uh-huh.
So the first click, and the bombs also set off all the bombs nearby it.
Yeah.
But only the bombs that are one space away.
Uh-huh.
Right. So your first click, boom, there's a bomb, and it sets off 3 bombs that are right there next to it, right?
Yeah.
And then you click again, and your first, like, 12 clicks set nothing but bombs.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as you click, you set off less bombs per click.
Yes.
So by the time you're looking for that last bomb, you're just like click, 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 clickety, click, 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 getting nothing.
Uh-huh.
Because what happens with viruses is, much like the bombs, they get in and they take all the low-hanging fruit, all the old people already have comorbid conditions.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like, all right, just regular old people. And then it's like young people who have comorbid conditions. And then it hits a peak where it's like, fuck,
all these people are fairly healthy.
Fairly healthy. They go outdoors.
Yeah.
But you shove them inside for 6 weeks and give them depression. Oh boy. You know what really harms your immune system? Your mental health.
Yeah.
So what they've done is they've created this newspeak to keep pushing those goalposts further and further down so that you don't they never have to give them up. And this is what people like me said on day one.
Yeah.
We're like, this is a terrible idea because of all these reasons. One of which is, you know, the government doesn't like to give back power, threat to the economy, the death of jobs, the death of like people's will to live. And the fact that the virus isn't that isn't actually as bad as they're saying. And everyone said, you're an idiot. You are a stupid person. And now 6 weeks later, 8 weeks later, looks like pretty much nailed it on every fucking one of those.
Yeah.
And all those people are still calling me an idiot. And then because now they don't have any like pseudoscientific things they can throw at me. So now it's just like, you want people to die. 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 So did you 12 weeks ago. You were all about wiping out everybody who watched the Kardashians. But suddenly, we all need to stay inside to protect grandma. You guys were all bitching about how boomers ruined the entire world. And now, here it is on a silver platter. Get rid of all the boomers in one fell swoop. Gone. Imagine this. We talked about this on the show.
We did.
We said, man, if we could just get rid of everybody over 65. Just wave a little magic wand and they're all gone. Imagine what a better world this would be. But when the time came, when you, it's the same thing as the killing baby Hitler. Like you go back in time to kill baby Hitler and you couldn't do it because you can't kill a baby.
You can't kill a baby.
You're not moral enough.
Yeah.
Exact same thing. Yeah. You guys all talked a big talk. So the next fucking person that goes running their mouth about, oh, I hate old people, I'm going to go, well, were you for the quarantine? Well, yeah, it was for public health. Then you don't hate old people enough. Because I hate old people, and I was pro-quarantine. And if I got it, I was going to go to a nursing home and coof on all of them. Because I'm a man who stands by what he says, even if it's completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because I don't buy the newspeak. I say a thing, and I continue to say it until I say, I was wrong for saying that thing, and this is why, and here's how I've changed my mind.
Yeah.
And I'll admit that I was wrong.
Yeah.
Now, if we were looking at 2 million dead people right now, I'd go, oh, shit. I really missed a mark on that one. My bullshit-o-meter, definitely something. I got to take that thing and get a check.
But we didn't even get to 10% of your number where you would take it seriously.
Which was 1 million.
Yes.
1 million deaths. And it had to be 1 million deaths in a short period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not even close. It looks like now it's going to be about 60,000, which is about what the flu was 2 years ago. The CDC, here's the other great part about the newspeak is that the CDC went back and changed their projections. Their projections from the 2018-2019 flu season, which was last flu season, not the one we're in currently, was 64,000 deaths. Uh-huh. That was what was killed. And it was between 64 and like 80,000. It was a range because much like what's going on with this, you just kind of go like, the dude died and he had the flu, so it's probably a flu death. So that's, you get this range.
Yeah.
Well, the CDC went back when everyone was pointing out that when the numbers got dropped on Wuhan flu down to 60 to 80,000 in the U.S., they're like, this isn't even what the fucking flu did last year. Then the CDC was like, oh, it was 60,000. It was 60,000 on the dot. And they changed that number to newspeak memory hole. It was never a range. It was always this small number. And it's like they're hoping we get over this. Oh, we got over this hump. And now you see it killed more people than the flu last year. And like, fucking negligible. Come on. It's so amazing. And these people that post when Donald Trump was elected, we're posting things like 1984 was supposed to be a warning, not a game plan. And then now they're just totally, governor, lock me in my home. Lock me in my home. Lock me in my home so that I can still go out and run errands and feel safe. That's really what it comes down to. What pisses me off is I am against the quarantine and I go out all the time.
Yeah.
Go to the store. Go to multiple stores, go get food, go to work, just go drive around.
Yeah.
I go to stores and I just wander around them because something to do.
Yep.
But That's consistent with what I said.
Yes.
The newspeak people say, Tab, you need to stay home. You can't just go to the store and wander around. Anyway, we can get back to this conversation later. I need to go to Reese's and buy eggs so that I can bake cookies for no reason.
Yeah.
To give me something to do inside my home. Like, you couldn't figure out, like, grocery delivery or, I don't know, not bake cookies?
No, yeah, no, there's no baked cookies. There's, you can make an eggless cookie.
No baked cookies are disgusting.
It depends.
I mean, you could just not do that. You could just watch TV, which is what you want me to do.
Yeah.
Just sit and watch Tiger King and get fat because you can't go to the gym either. And now get more fat because you're baking confectionery goods.
Yeah.
Well, I need to be able to go out to the park and wander around. I'm wearing a mask. I thought masks didn't work. That was part of the newspeak. Masks don't work. They buy up all the masks. Now places are mandating you wear a mask.
Yes.
California man. I want to download the AIDS walk episode of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Where they give him, your AIDS ribbon. And he's like, oh, that's okay. And he's like, you have to wear the ribbon. Oh, I have to?
Uh-huh.
Well, now I definitely don't want to wear it. And then he's walking and he's like, hey man, where's your ribbon? I'm like, oh, I don't wear the ribbon. I want to take that whole thing and re-edit it with everyone wearing masks. I don't wear the mask.
Yeah.
That's where we are. I don't like to do things specifically because I'm told to do them. Like stay inside your home, wear a mask.
Yeah.
All I'm asking for is a little consistency. If everyone was consistent, even if they were consistently parroting the lie that 2.2 million people are going to die,
yeah.
Like we got to flatten the curve. 2.2 million people are going to die. Like fucking win.
Eventually.
Sometime. I at least then I could respect them for being consistent. It's like Rose McGowan and Alyssa Milano.
Uh-huh.
You know what they're famous for?
Charmed.
And
being crazy Twitter ladies.
And the hashtag MeToo movement. If you will recall, Alyssa Milano was at the Kavanaugh confirmation hearings in the Senate with her little sign to stand up for abused women everywhere and believe all women.
Uh-huh.
And guess who Alyssa Milano endorsed for president?
Biden. Yeah.
Who now has
even more stuff happened this weekend.
Oh, did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, all I know is the Tara Reid thing.
More people came out in support of her.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So the Tara Reid thing happened. Now, I don't know if that's true or if it's not.
Yeah.
But Alyssa Milano, who claimed we need to listen to all women and to disregard one accusation is to disregard all accusations. Uh-huh. Now, totally okay with Biden being an alleged sexual assaulter.
Yeah.
Because he's got a D after his name and not an R.
Uh-huh.
She's a crazy bitch. Rose McGowan, also a crazy bitch. But Rose McGowan, not only against Joe Biden because hashtag me too, uh-huh. but shit talking Alyssa Milano for being a waffler. And
great.
It's like Rose McGowan if you watch interviews with her, absolutely out of her fucking mind. Crazy.
But
she's consistently she's consistent with her views.
Yeah.
So while I don't agree with her,
uh-huh.
I respect her for her consistency.
Great.
And Alyssa Milano, who I don't agree with, I also think is a dumb bitch. You should shut her mouth because she doesn't have consistency. Rose McGowan, feel free to run your mouth in my book because you have proven that when you stand for a thing, you stand for it. And God bless you for that.
Yeah.
Even if you're wrong, even if I disagree with you, if I disagree with the problem is, disagree with the solution is,
yep.
If you stand for a thing, I can at least have a level of mutual respect. I can sit down with Rose McGowan and have a conversation with this bitch
yeah.
because we both stand for a thing.
Yep.
And maybe we could convince, one of us could convince the other that they're a crazy bitch who needs to stop talking.
But before she does that to you.
But you have to, that's like arguing on Twitter with these people whose opinions change every 10 seconds.
Yeah.
It's just, man, there's no point to, there's one guy I got into an argument with who I called out. I was like, suddenly you care about deaths in the country. 7,000 people die a day in the United States. And now you care. And he's like, oh, you're saying I didn't care about my about deaths prior to this, so I just went to his tweets and replies and did four screenshots and of the last of them before the coronavirus thing hit, and there was absolutely no discussion of deaths going on. Like, I guess you're keeping under wraps that you cared about deaths. Well, Tim, what's your first mini issue this month?
Here's what I don't mini get. Library books.
Okay.
Now, this might seem kind of weird because I'm an avid reader and am absolutely pro-library. I think they're one of the bastions.
You're pro-library? I'm pro book choice.
I think they're one of the bastions of our society.
Uh-huh.
In that I am one of my beliefs is free access to knowledge and a lot of the services they provide. But if there's one thing I can't stand, it's the way libraries actually treat books. And not like the special, mystical, historical artifacts of books, but like a regular paperback novel.
Yeah.
Or a hardcover novel.
Yeah.
Right? What do they do to that thing?
Of fiction.
They slather it in a weird plastic
dust jacket thing,
and they mark it and label it.
Yeah.
Oh God, it was like watching that guy die in the opening of that episode of Picard, the guy from Voyager.
Oh, Icheb.
Icheb. It was like watching. It's like that's what they do to books.
Yeah.
What they did to Icheb, that's what they do to books.
How would you solve it, though?
I have no idea. I'm not saying that I have an answer. I'm just saying I hate, because I haven't had to deal with a library book in quite since college.
Yeah.
And I happened upon a library book the other day, and it was a hardcover novel, so it's hardcover size.
Yeah.
And then it's about an inch and a half thick.
Yeah.
A decent sized book, and I'm looking at that weirdly. It's like the dust jacket thing they put on them is never clean. Almost,
it gets it like it's supposed to protect the dust jacket from wear and tear.
Yeah,
but then dirt and shit gets inside. It's that.
In between that and the actual dust jacket,
and makes it look gross.
It makes it look like a grimy window.
Yeah.
I don't get, and then like I'll be looking at books on Amazon, and I'll hit the, third party sellers page, and half of them are like X library book, like new condition,
no.
And I'm like bullshit. There's no way that thing is like new condition if it has been a library book.
Yeah, I've bought some books at library sales, but usually I buy the books that are not being sold by the library. They're like donated to the library to sell on behalf of the library, yes. Because those are always in way better condition.
Uh-huh.
So here's my solution, right?
Yeah.
It's twofold. Number one is, so one of the reasons why, and I'm actually, before I get to that, do you know what libraries do with the books when they decide they don't want them anymore?
What? They just burn them?
Almost.
Yeah.
They tear the cover.
The front cover off.
And the back cover.
And the back cover, yeah.
From the bindings and then throw the two in a dumpster.
Yes, I know about that because bookstores have to do that too.
And the reason why they do it, and people complain, and there's a logic to it. People complain because they're like, well, they could just resell the books. But the problem is that libraries sell books. And then someone else finds the book and goes, oh, this belongs to the Tulsa County Library.
And they return
it. And they return it, and they're like, God damn it, we just got rid of this.
Man, so, if only they could just, like, scribble over that thing or something. Have some way to...
Because they mark them in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So it would cost more for them to have an intern or someone sit and... Take the plastic cover off and cover up all the stickers and cover up all the
stamps on the
sides. Well, they don't stamp books anymore, but back in the day. Well,
there's there are books old enough that libraries would have them that would have stamps on them.
So you've got all that going on. But my solution is twofold. Number one is special prints of books for libraries.
Library print
that doesn't have a dust jacket. It has a printed cover.
Yeah.
That is like my James Bond book over there. One of them has when you pull the dust jacket off, it has like a nicely bound cover.
Yeah.
And the other one has a printed picture cover. So a printed picture cover like that has your book cover info.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then it would be like Criterion Collections or platinum editions of movies where they shrink down the cover art and then they like platinum edition video games do that too. You do that. And so it's shrunk down to library edition and then it just has an RFID tag in it instead of, and the RFID tag has all the info about the book.
Yeah.
And then when you sell the book, you just deface the front cover with like a brand.
Yeah. Yeah.
That puts in like, no, like that just brands over the word library, like private use now. And then you cut out the RFID tag and then you no longer need to stamp books. Everything looks like a library book because library books look like a thing.
Yeah.
Someone sees a book in your hand and they go, oh, that's
clearly
a library book.
Yeah.
As opposed to someone, I mean, now you can go clearly say see that it's a library book too.
Yeah.
And I also think we need to push more digital books. Nooks, Kindles. Yeah.
Libraries have fully adapted to that. Most libraries have fully adapted to that system. But the problem with that is you're like, I would like to borrow a copy of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah.
And so you go onto the library website and say, and says, hey, we've got Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone available to borrow on your
app. Yeah.
On your ebook app. Your ebook reader. And you say, great, I would like to do that. They're like, well, you are now third in line because all the copies have been.
Yeah. All these non-existent digital copies
are currently being borrowed. We will let you know when there is one available.
That happened to me with, I used Libby as part of Overdrive and it does audiobooks more so than ebooks. And I was in the middle of a book, right?
Yeah.
And I had like maybe I was on the last couple of chapters.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was due that day. I'm driving, listening to my ebook.
Uh-huh.
Stop, turn off the car, the radio disconnects from the phone, put my phone in my pocket. Put on my headphones, turn my headphones on. My headphones pair to my phone. And normally I just hit the button and my book resumes. I hit the button, nothing happens. Pull out my phone, and in like the 2 minutes between stopping the car and getting inside the store, it had, oh, we wouldn't have returned this for you. Like, you couldn't put up a notification on my screen that I needed to renew this. And then also the problem with the renewal is that when I had to renew, I renew for a whole week. But that I usually only needed it for like another day.
Yeah, yeah.
For another couple hours of listening, it's like, fuck you. I should just be able to go like, I just need to listen to this for another like 35 minutes.
Yeah.
It's that's like, all that's left. So I was like, fuck this. And I just started, I went back to just torrenting my audiobooks.
Yeah. It's somehow they went like, okay, we need to adapt to ebooks and the digital market, but also we needed to act completely like a physical library does.
Yeah. And do things like, so if I read an audiobook from you, right?
Yeah.
And you can tell that I'm, cause you can just tell by, oh, he listens between 7:15 and 7:45 every day, Monday through Friday. Yeah, and then he listens it from 5:15 to 5:45 every day. And then he listens a little bit when he's at home and a little bit during the day at work and a little bit here and there. Like, that's a person who's actively listening to this book on their commutes.
Yeah.
So, we're going to go ahead and not return it. But if it's like he checked out this book, listened to it for 45 minutes, and then he has literally not touched it in a week, you can go ahead and return that book.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you're actively pursuing the narrative, let him keep it.
Yeah.
Like, even if I'm on a waiting list, I would much rather get the book knowing that the guy before me finished it. And then it like, and then at the second that it's over, hey, this book's finished, we're going to go ahead and return it for you. I want to know, oh, that guy just finished it. The way that if I just finished a book and recommended it to you, I could just hand it to you. Hey, this is a good book.
Yeah.
As opposed to me thinking that I just waited a week because that guy finished the book and then didn't think about it and just let it auto return.
Yeah, it'd be great if like you get a notification. It was like, the person that borrowed the book before you just finished it and gave it 4.5 stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. As opposed to... Because then I know books disappear. I was pretty good about when I finish a book going and returning it.
Yeah,
but every so often I would start a book that I didn't like and not go back to it and just let it auto return.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would be fine with a system that like tracked my usage and said, yeah, this guy's listening to this. He's got like 2 hours left. He'll probably finish in a couple of days. And then auto return as opposed to, because I understand what they don't want you to rent it, never start it, and just hold on to it forever. But because I guess someone could troll the system.
I don't mind the rental part of it. The part of it that I don't get is the we've only got 5 copies of this digital book.
Yeah,
like
that's probably an agreement with the publisher.
Can you just hit Control C, Control V again, please?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good mini issue.
Thank you.
Because I also libraries. Have moved the modern library, the way they've moved from being like a place that has books to a place that has like meeting rooms and shit.
Yes.
Like our downtown library, they put in podcast studios.
Yeah. Yeah.
But why do the homeless people need that? The barrier to entry to making a podcast is already so low. Like all you need is a USB microphone and Audacity.
Yeah.
You can't do that at home. We need a podcast room at the library and a YouTube studio because I think they also have green screens and shit. So stupid. Well, that brings us to the middle of our episode, which means it's time to say thank you to all of our patrons this month for supporting the show. Be sure to get your vote in for what movie commentary you want us to do. I think Baby Driver's in the lead.
Yeah.
Which you love, but I know I'm going to hate it.
Because?
The music. It's all a music movie. I don't like music movies.
But it's a music movie.
Isn't it a music movie where he's always listening to music and dancing and it's like through composed with popular music?
He's not dancing and it's not popular music.
Uh-huh. Did the album hit number one after the movie came out?
The soundtrack?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, that's popular music, Tim.
The most popular song on... There's a couple of like old Motown songs, I think, on it.
Uh-huh.
But aside from that, I think the most popular band on that soundtrack is Queen. And it wouldn't be in the first 20 Queen songs you would name.
Okay. That's fair, because I'm not a big Queen fan.
Yeah.
Still, isn't it Martin Scorsese or something?
It's Edgar Wright.
Oh, yeah. I hate Edgar Wright. He did Shaun of the Dead.
Which you like.
I liked when I was a teenager. I think if I were to go back and watch it now, I would think it sucked.
Uh-huh.
He did Hot Fuzz, which was unwatchable garbage.
I love Hot Fuzz.
And then he did a movie after that, which I'm sure is equally as bad.
I do not like At World's End. And you might like it because it's about drinking.
I don't care about other people drinking. Yeah, that's not...
No?
No. Right. If I were to go on a pub crawl, that would be fun. But like watching someone go on a pub crawl is just annoying.
Yeah.
It's like Beer Fest.
I like Beer Fest.
I never saw it.
Really?
Yeah, no interest.
It's the Super Trooper guys. Yeah. Same kind of humor.
Yeah, but Super Troopers 2 was terrible. So
I never saw it 2.
Kind of makes me wonder about them, you know? I was listening to a James Bond book today, and one of the... There's The Man with a Golden Gun.
Uh-huh.
And one of the 60s myths was that homosexuals couldn't whistle.
Okay, that's weird.
It was like a really weird thing in the in the book. I was like, what? Why could a homosexual person not whistle?
I don't know. That's real weird.
It was really weird.
It would don't you think it would be the other way around? Like homosexuals are known for constantly whistling.
Yeah. Who knows, man? And then he was supposed to do Ant-Man and he didn't. And I really liked Ant-Man, and I just feel... And everyone's like... And he's like,
my vision was totally different. Like, it was going to be, the whole movie was going to be perspective of an ant or something. And I was just like, oh, okay. So I really like this version. So I'm sure your version is going to suck. I also don't like anything with any movie with the word baby in the title.
Three Men and a Baby.
Meh.
Really?
Yeah. It's on
Baby's Day Out.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Why would I want to watch a baby's adventures?
It's not a.
You can't self insert into a baby. That is babyophilia. Keep going.
I'm trying to think of other movies with baby in it. Huh. Can't think of them.
Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah, it's all right.
Baby Mama.
Baby Mama.
Yeah.
Oh, the one with Tina Fey?
Yeah, that's awful.
I've never seen it.
I guarantee you. Baby on Board from 2008. It's got Heather Graham, Jerry O'Connell, and some other, Laura Flynn Boyle in it.
What are the odds that Heather Graham takes her top off in that movie?
Oh, 100%. The poster is her holding a pregnancy test. Baby's Day Out, Gone, Million Dollar Baby, not good.
I don't care for it.
Yeah,
Gone Baby Gone, that's a good movie.
Yeah, not interested. That was also on this list.
Really, you might like it. It's a
two Boston area detectives investigate a little girl's kidnapping, which ultimately turns into a crisis both professionally and personally.
Yep.
Meh. Oh, it's got that guy from Ocean's 11 who looks smug.
Who?
I don't know, this guy. The guy that's not... I also hate Ed Harris, like, beyond belief. The guy that's not Ed Harris in that photo.
That's Casey Affleck.
Yeah, fuck that guy. And fuck Ed Harris more. The Boss Baby. There's a great movie. Oh, Bridget Jones Baby. The only thing better than Bridget Jones' Diary is the thought of Renee Zellweger having a child. Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2.
Okay.
Baby Geniuses. I don't know why Baby Geniuses 2 is first on this list. Adventures in Babysitting.
That movie's all right.
It's super meh.
It's a kid's movie.
If you were into it in the 80s, you think it's great.
Yeah, it's a kid's movie.
Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, never heard of it. Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, not watching that. She's Having a Baby. Something called Baby Boom. Cry Baby with Johnny Depp. Absolutely not.
Never seen it.
Baby Doll. Doesn't look good. The Babysitter's Club. Yeah, that's a movie.
Those are old books.
Yeah, for preteen girls.
Yeah.
Maybe Baby. It's got Hugh Laurie in it. Looks like Before House.
Yeah.
Baby Boy. It's got Tyrese Gibson in it.
Tyrese is a Baby
Snoop
Boy.
Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, Baby Boy.
That's that looks super not good.
No, it's not good.
Manhattan Baby. Baby, Secret of the Lost Legend.
That's Babe.
No, it's Baby.
You sure? Wasn't...
You're thinking of Babe, Pig in the City.
But there was another Babe.
Baby Factory. It's a Bollywood movie. There Goes Baby, Hell Baby, Hush Hush Baby.
Hell Baby.
Baby and I Love You Baby, Rockabye Baby, Kill Baby Kill, Nasty Baby. That's it. That's the list.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Hell Baby is, I think I know.
In Doom? Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to shoot it.
Uh-huh.
Well, now that we've talked about all this baby talk, here's what I don't mean to get. When your car gets dirty right after you leave the car wash.
Yep.
I was never really a car wash guy. Like my Accord, I took it to the car wash like maybe five times the entire time that I owned it.
Yeah.
And I owned it for 3 or 4 years because, you know, it's an Accord.
Yeah.
Who gives a
shit?
So
maybe about once a year.
Yeah, probably about once a year. I think right before I got into the accident, I took it for a car wash because it was just covered in road dirt because we had like a snow and they salted for no reason. Yep. And so it was covered in road dirt. And I was just like, my car looks disgusting. Before that, it was a pollen thing. There was too much pollen on it. Yeah. And it was getting all over me and my clothes and causing allergic reactions. But the Mustang I take to the car wash more often because it's a nice looking car and I want it to look clean and nice.
Yeah.
And man, without fucking fail, So the car wash I took it to this time, they have a three day. You brought it in before, small item insurance.
Three day
rain insurance.
Yeah,
and you can pay for it separately. But if you get their like power wash, which has all the stuff, it's free.
Well, that kind of makes sense though.
Yeah. So if you buy like I think there's $7 wash, it's $3. But if you buy their $18 wash, it's free.
Yeah.
And the $18 wash comes with like tire shine and wax and all that, all kinds of bullshit.
Yeah.
A big buffing wheel comes and buffs your car for you. It's really cool.
Which would all get rained on if it rained.
Yeah. So I got my car washed a couple days ago and it rained this morning. And
what do they consider rain?
That I don't know because they just accepted that it
plus
rained.
Sometimes we got a big enough county that like, it can rain up north and not rain down south.
Yeah, I was kind of worried about that too. Like, what if it only rained in my apartment? But it scanned through, let me through, no problem.
Nice.
So it rained this morning, and
I bet you they've hooked up to some weather system that's like rain yes or no previous day.
Probably they probably use your 50-50.
Yeah,
yeah. And it's any time within the 3 days. So I looked at it. I thought about not going because now it looks like it's going to rain again.
I believe it's going to rain tomorrow.
Yeah, and tomorrow is my last day. Before the end of business, I could get a free wash. So I went and did the free wash. But because I walked out and there was like water spots from where the pollen. Because what happens is pollen gets on my car because it's spring.
Yeah.
And then a little bit of water gets on there. And then I have a zebra car, which is way worse than just having a dirty car. So I decided to go have it washed. I got it washed. I went in to work. I worked on a project I was working on, and then I was on my way to you, and a drop of sap fell off a tree and landed like fucking smack dead center of my field of view when I'm driving. Yeah. And this happens every fucking time I get a car wash. I got a car wash a couple months ago, and bird poop fell, a bird pooped while I was driving, and I had to have been in motion because it landed, you know, I have the little where the bump up for the antenna mount is.
Yeah.
And I don't have the antenna attached. I took that off, but that bump up is there. Well, the poop is all on the front side of the bump up, and then it splattered and got all over the side view mirror, the side of the car, and the windshield. And I'm just like, you fucking birds. Every time you leave the car wash and it's just like, here's a big mess.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why I don't like getting tire shine is because the tire shine flips off the wheels all over the side of my car and then makes my car look dirty again. It's like, thanks. I really appreciate it. Not to mention this last time I had it, I got the car washed. The tire shine was like, I guess, real thick on the wheels. And I went pulling out of the place and I gave it gas because I had a small gap in traffic and like it caused me to hydroplane all the damn tire shine on the tires. It was kind of funny, but also annoying.
You get enough tire shine on there, you won't need a car wash.
That's how I got the
ever again.
FTL line drive in there. It was too much tire shine. But it's so annoying. It's one of those things. It's like one of my pet peeves. I worked at Quick Trip, my first job, like W-2 job was working at Quick Trip. And one of my biggest pet peeves was we had these 30-minute, every 30 minutes we had to do a spot check or store sweep. I don't remember what the name of it was, but you had to hit all of this different stuff to make sure all the drinks in the drink coolers were pulled forward, make sure the cups and lids were all stocked, make sure coffee was, no coffee thing was empty.
Yeah, we had a thing like that at Toys R Us.
Yeah, make sure that the soda syrup is all full, make sure
everything had to be at the very front of the rack and all even. And
shift the roller stuff down, make sure the stuff's wiped down, make sure there's plenty of buns. And then one of the last things was to mop, spot mop. And I absolutely hate it. I knew that if we could just get a mop in and then the store was empty for 10 minutes, the floors would not get dirty again very quickly. But what ended up happening invariably, other than rainy days, what ended up happening every fucking time was you just finish the mop and then in comes some fucking dude and he walks right over the soda thing and it's just like, bah! And throws soda everywhere. Just like, what the hell is the matter with you?
Yeah.
So it's this pet peeve to like, I don't like walking on freshly mopped floors.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate leaving footprints and stuff getting on your car right after you leave the car wash is just like that.
Yeah.
And no car wash is perfect. Like you drive through that big fan thing and there's still water somewhere on your car and you can get out and towel it off if you're like really anal retentive. But I just kind of feel like, what's the point? Because I know if I do a real good job detailing the car, I'm going to like pull on my way out of the car wash place, just bird poop right on the windshield. I would be able to deal with it more, like the splattering on the antenna thing, because it's not on my side of the car to see.
Yeah.
I can kind of deal with it more. Like if I hit a bug on the passenger windshield side of the windshield, I'd just be like, spray the stuff, wipe it off, no problem. But it's when it's in my center view, it makes me nuts because I like I'm constantly seeing it right there.
And it only happens after you've got the car wash.
Yeah.
Just the way that, like, I mean, that's just it's a fact of life. It's like that kind of stuff only happens. It's I'm trying to think of an example, but there's a lot of stuff it happens to. Like, you clean something and that thing's going to get dirty immediately.
Yeah.
Because you cleaned it.
Mm-hmm. It's.
And it's something that usually doesn't get dirty.
Yeah, cars are a little different because they're always getting dirty. And, you know, it's one of the reasons why I don't go get a car wash a day before it rains or when it's snowing. Or even, like, even if it snows, right? Because we had a little bit of snow this. I waited until it rained again before I'd go get a car wash because there was always tons of road dirt that with the snow trapped and you needed to get that washed away. Because otherwise, like, you get a clean car and then you just go drive down Harvard and all this fucking road dirt right up on your car. And why did I spend $5? Not out of vanity, but just out of throwing money away.
Good old brown ice.
Brown ice. Yeah. Yeah, and like there are car washes that do a monthly subscription fee. Like you pay $20 a month and you get unlimited washes. And I feel like if I had that, I would just stop every day on the way to and from work.
Yeah.
Like until the paint started to peel.
Yeah.
Actually, what I want to do is I want to go with a hose and like really wash my car and then wax it myself. You know, 2 coats of wax, get it all nice and shiny and polished, and then see how long that'll last. And the other thing that I've heard of is people do like these ceramic coatings, like basically a window tint, but they do it on all over your car, like a vinyl wrap to protect your car from. People do it more to new cars, and then when you sell the car, you peel all that shit off.
Ah,
pristine paint.
Pristine.
Underneath. Yeah. Anyway, what's your second mini issue this month?
Here's what I don't mini get. Poorly packaged lunch meat.
Oh, yeah.
I think you know what I'm talking about. It's when you get, like, right, you buy some lunch meat, and it's usually, like, super thin, and it's all packaged and squished together in a terrible way. Because sometimes you can get thinly sliced meat that's packaged very nicely.
Like, when you go to the deli, you get thinly sliced meat, they put the whole wad into the big bag, so you can just peel the stuff off the top.
Yeah, but sometimes it's like, you'll buy the thing and it comes in a bag and it's like at the factory, there's a 250-pound drum that the meat just falls into after it gets sliced.
Yeah.
And someone just grabs a hand and stuffs their hand in there, grabs a handful and shoves it in the bag, shakes it a bunch and then zips it closed.
Yeah.
So you go to make a sandwich and you go and pull out, this is a fresh bag. I bought this bag last night.
Okay.
Fresh bag. Pull it out. I've got a little.
I'm pinching fingers full of meat.
Yes.
Yeah, because you can't get a full slice off because it's all jammed together.
You can't get a full slice. You either get pieces or you get a big old hefty chunk.
Yeah. And then you kind of like have to break that chunk apart to lay it out on the sandwich.
Or say, fuck it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm having
today. That's why I buy Hillshire Farm.
Yeah, usually they do.
They're pretty good. Every so often, I get stuff that crumbles apart. But yeah, I just pulled out my second to last lunch meat container since before I got told to stay home for 6 weeks. I took a thing. I bought a bunch of lunch meat and cheese everything, and I just pulled my second to last lunch meat container out of the freezer. So you could say things are getting pretty dire.
Where is the money saved between those guys and the guys that do it right?
I don't know. Because there's got to be that. That has to be the reasoning, right?
Because anytime you go to a deli and you're like, hey, I want some of that roast beef. And like, hey, how thick do you want it? And they got the little thing, the measurement, right?
Yeah.
Like, I want a number two. He's like, all right, how much do you want? Give me half a pound. Coming up for you. And he exactly, right? But he puts it in a nice stack.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, closes it with the paper and puts it in a bag for you.
Yep.
If you tell me a machine can't do that, then they know how much they need to put in the bag.
Yeah.
Weight wise.
They probably have it down to the like how, based on the thickness, what the thickness gets of a slice, how many slices go in this? 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the way robotics work, like you should be able to just have a machine that's just arms that just packages meat nicely.
Yeah.
Your
yeah,
lunch meat.
Yeah.
Or I wonder if just putting in a bigger bag would.
Maybe that's what it is.
Would help it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, because Hillshire Farm containers are pretty small, and they do the like cram together thing.
But you pull it out, and
it's like tissue where
you pull another. Occasionally, you'll pull one, and you'll start to like get the whole strand. But it's not. They're not so interconnected that you.
Then you just separate. You know, it's like I want three or four slices. Yep. You go and bam.
Yep.
And then you put it on your sandwich and just fold the ends over, and you got a perfect sandwich. Yeah, they're obviously they're doing it from a machine. Just buy the Hillshire Farm machine.
Yeah,
sons of bitches. I'm a guess. Oscar Mayer?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
I don't actually recall what brand it was because I bought it at the dollar store.
Ah,
it wasn't a dollar, but it was from. Yeah, I should have got the Hillshire. They had Hillshire Farms. Should have got the Hillshire.
Dude, I love Hillshire Farms for two reasons. Number one, the meat's very good.
Yep.
Number two, those little Tupperwares are very handy.
Oh, yeah. You keep those around?
Yeah, I keep them around. It's like, oh, man, this was good. I'm going to take some leftovers. Like, here, take a Hillshire Farm container.
And they're not so sturdy.
I don't want it back. You can throw it away.
They're not so sturdy that it's like buying a really nice set of wear that'll last you 5 to 10 years.
No.
But
it'll last you three or four uses.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing I use them a lot for is because they're the exact size of sandwich bread. So they are perfect to... Instead of putting a sandwich in a baggie for your lunch,
oh, cut it.
Just a whole sandwich on regular Sara Lee bread will fit in there. Bam, put it in there, throw the lid on.
Nice.
And now your sandwich
will
never get crushed in your lunch.
Yeah.
So I use those a lot for that. And then when the lid starts to wear out, I'm just tossing
it.
Yep. Yeah. Very, very convenient packaging, Hillshire
Farms.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Or the other. There's a cheese. What's the cheese place that also has very nice pack? Most cheeses. That's the other thing is like cheese has their shit together.
The individually wrapped.
Not even individually wrapped. I'm just no. Not like
Kraft singles.
Not Kraft singles. I'm talking like like Colby. If you're getting sliced cheese, the same way you get sliced meat for a sandwich. Cheese industry has their shit together.
They do.
Because they know their shit sticks together.
Yeah. So they'll put those little paper things between them, wax paper things. Even like, I buy the prepackaged, I think they're Borden brand, Colby, provolone, Monterey Jack, cheddar, like whatever is available. And even those, it's got a little piece of wax paper between the
slices.
Or
they're like thick enough and they're... The one I'm thinking of is the way they do it so that it's not just one big clump.
It's like a big, long laid out. It's like a
shingle.
Yeah.
They're shingled
when you lay out the cards in a big line.
Yeah, yeah. They're shingled so that you can just get however much you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those fuckers.
Yeah.
Learn how to handle your meat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to be able to neatly... And you'll be able to neatly handle your meat without harming anything.
Yeah, you don't want to harm anything.
No.
You wanna have easy access.
Yeah.
And you wanna be able to get it out of there and put it wherever you're putting it and then get it back without a muss and fuss.
Right. Right.
Without, getting all sweaty and getting shit all over you.
You don't want like some excess cream on there.
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah. That would be embarrassing.
Oh yeah. You put your meat back and you actually get some of that mayo on the outside of it. Everyone would be laughing at you.
Yeah. This is a great mini issue because I really feel your pain.
Yeah.
It's And I think certain meats are worse than others. Like turkey and chicken.
It was turkey.
Flake apart a lot more than turkey. Ham.
I prefer turkey to ham for a sandwich.
I prefer, I'm fine with turkey and ham. And then like a next tier is roast beef.
Roast beef.
And then the lowest tier is chicken. I don't want fucking any chicken. I don't want sliced chicken on a sandwich ever.
I've had it. The problem with it is that they have to pump so much other stuff into the chicken.
In order for it to have any flavor at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Turkey has a nice like texture and flavor on its own.
Yes.
And then, but with chicken, it's chicken is what you cook it with.
Yeah.
Which is one of the beauties of chicken, but it's also one of the drawbacks, which is why it's not a good lunch meat. You want something that's robust and you put it in your mouth.
Yeah.
Well, this has been our mini-sode. Thank you to all our patrons, and we'll catch you next month. We'll be right back.